So here with my guys, Mad Dog, Tim Legler, and of course Stephen A. Mad Dog, you were at the Masters.
Yes, I was.
This past week, and apparently you had some interesting discussions on the grounds of Augusta National. Let's take a listen to something you said on your radio show, Mad Dog Unleashed.
And then the caddies, when I was working on my putts, all they cared about, keep on giving Stephen A.
You know what? I get that same sentiment from the public
so
as well.
So do I.
They're like, we
sentiment.
Love the way that you give it to Stephen A.
All they cared about.
Yep.
You are better than he is. Go out there and make him look lousy. That's all
you know
they
what?
Cared about.
You know what? If folks really, really, really feel that way, then stop coming up to me and asking for pictures all the damn time. They don't. They love me. This is the problem. And they have the same problem that Doggy has, that Molly has. Not so much you, Tim Legler, but most other people. Listen, I am a very lovable guy. Y'all just don't want to admit it to the public. I understand y'all try to hide it, just like the public out there acting like they can't stand me. They love me. You understand what I'm saying? And I love y'all too. Hey, I'm Stephen A. Smith, and I approve that message.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm always polite to people. But, you know, like if it's on the weekend and you're at a restaurant or something, yeah. You're trying to relax, whatever, and I'm getting interviewed about Stephen A., I'm like, really?
Hey,
is this really what we're doing?
He's unavoidable.
They love me. I'm a man of the people.
I know, but Stephen
y'all.
A., it's
I'm
like, can lovable. I get a timeout? I mean, we get 10 hours a week on television.
I agree. But, you know, when you're with someone every day, that's so lovable. You understand? I mean,
God. All right, let's
that's
go.
That's where it goes. That's how
let's
it goes.
Go.
You
let's
know?
Go.
That's how it
all
goes.
Right. Good stuff,
you know?
Though. You had a good time at the Masters?
I did. We'll get to it
a little later.
Yes,
okay,
we'll
cool.
get to that.
All right, let's get to
you
the games last
to
night.
Get on the course.
By the way, Stephen A., Tim Legler's got some hot takes over here. I mean, this guy. The Kings ousted the Warriors from the play-in, and now Sacramento advances to face the Pelicans. Keegan Murray scored 32. De'Aaron Fox added 24. The Kings stayed alive. 118-94 was the win. Meanwhile, Golden State's season ending much earlier than they're used to. Klay Thompson did not deliver his half of the Splash Brothers. 0 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist.
We need Klay back. I mean, he's, you know, his. I know he had a tough night tonight, but what he represents for us, he's still got good years left.
I don't think there's any scenario where Klay leaves and that's the best decision for this team and organization. I have no reason to think that our ownership group aren't going to take care of us the way we've taken care of this organization.
He gonna make less money, but he ain't gonna get no better. Older people don't get, sports ain't for old people, they're for young people. That's no disrespect. Klay's a Hall of Famer, but he's lowered his number, but he ain't, you know, just cause he lowered his number don't mean he gonna play better as he ages.
All right, Stephen A., let me ask you this. Do you think the Warriors should bring Klay back?
It depends on the price. To be quite honest with you, I think that at this stage and point in Klay Thompson's career, I think he would be big time valuable to a championship team. Could you imagine LeBron James having Klay Thompson to kick the ball out to on the wing? Could you imagine the New York Knicks with Brunson and those boys having Klay Thompson to kick the ball out to? If you're Klay and you're listening, this is not an indictment against Klay Thompson. He's a four-time champ. He's one of the greatest shooters we've ever seen. He's a surefire first ballot future Hall of Famer. Mad love and respect to him for what he has meant to the Warriors organization. But as constructed, in order to get better, they might have to utilize his services for a sign and trade. They might have to sit up there and let him move on so you can clear space to get somebody else. But not only that, to utilize the younger assets more excessively. All of those things come into play. But that don't mean that the swan song is being written by Klay Thompson. I disagree with Charles Barkley on that. Klay Thompson could end up playing better next year than he did this year. He's a shooter. Now, if your success is predicated on athleticism, Charles Barkley would have a point. But with Klay Thompson, it's about that stroke. Now, obviously, shaking off defenders is not something that he can do. But this brother has launched contested three-point shots throughout his career, and they've hit nothing but the bottom of the net. He's one of the elite shooters this game has ever seen. I believe there's a shot that he could find his stroke to a degree that's better productively than it was this year. So I don't view him that way. I'm simply saying that as the Warriors are constructed in light of the inordinate amount of needs they may have to go in a different direction. And by the way, let me say this. And, you know, I love me some Draymond Green. By the way, they went from 24th in defensive deficiency when he was suspended to 7th when he was on the court. They were 28-15, if I remember correctly, with him on the court, which was the fifth best record in the NBA since he's been on it. That's how valuable Draymond Green is. But the players have to stop doing this. Oh, what he's meant to the organization and what this person has meant to the organization. Wait a minute. You weren't playing for free. You were playing to produce. The Golden State Warriors, they didn't, you know, you didn't play for them out of the kindness of your heart and they owe you. And or you were grotesquely underpaid. Steph Curry getting paid. Draymond Green got paid. Klay Thompson got paid. Now, granted, it's great that you won. And you should be revered into Golden State lore. We get that. But in the end, let's stop acting like if you dissipate in any way, if you fade and there are better options, that you're owed the opportunity to stay. No, you're not. If you were paid and paid handsomely and you produced, you should be respected, even revered to some degree. But that doesn't mean that you get to wear that uniform into perpetuity if indeed they believe they're better off moving in a different direction. They don't owe Clay that. They owe Clay respect and reverence. They don't owe him keeping him on the roster if they can get better without him. I'm not saying they can, but if there's the possibility to do that, you don't owe him to keep him.
Timmy, go ahead.
Yeah, look, Stephen, I completely agree with you in this regard. What you're talking about is you can't stay competitive as an organization if you're going to hand out career achievement awards financially. Right? You can't do it. Not if you want to stay competitive and you have a superstar that still is on that level, which I think Curry is. I haven't seen a dramatic decline in Steph Curry's game. When the parts around him aren't as good, he looks vulnerable like he did last night because he's got to carry too much of the load on the ball. That was obviously exposed last night. But if you're Klay Thompson, look, I'll say this. You bring Klay Thompson back and you say, if the number's right, Stephen A., I don't think there's any choice. The number has to be right. It has to be palatable to the Warriors for Klay Thompson to come back. I agree with you. I can list three or four more other teams. Imagine Klay Thompson in Philly. Imagine Klay Thompson in Dallas. Some of these teams that are close, where he could be the third or fourth best player and pick and choose his nights when they really need him to be and space the floor. There's a lot of opportunities out there. I think Klay wants to stay in Golden State, finish his career as a Warrior, stay next to Steph Curry the rest of his career. He understands he's going to have to take a dramatic pay cut. And I'll say this. He still has nights. And this wasn't a disastrous year for Klay Thompson. Now, last night was. That's a bad visual last night. He still has enough nights in the regular season. He is still a guy that has to be honored. He can have nights where he can get hot, where you can carry him and ride him a little bit for a quarter, where he gives you that kind of offensive splurge that you need alongside Steph Curry. It's just not consistent. And it's more exposed when a guy like Wiggins hasn't been able to recapture who he was the year they won the championship. Chris Paul really didn't give him much offensively. The younger guys, they're up and coming, but these guys aren't guys that can go get their own shot with the basketball and create offense. So when all of those things add up, that's when Klay Thompson, he looks more vulnerable on the bad nights. He is still a serviceable player on a good team at the right number, which I think has to happen for both sides. And I think Klay Thompson ultimately wants to stay there. I don't think he wants to wear another uniform. He wants his legacy to be, I did it all with this core group of guys. I want to ride this out and stay with them. And he understands to do that, you're going to have to take less money.
100%. I like what you said before then. All organizations and all sports, when they've won championships and the players get older, they have a very tough call to make. Do I sit there and I discard all these players who helped us to this glory and rebuild to move the rebuilding process up a couple years? Or do I play it out, be an eighth seed, maybe squeeze out a playoff win with older players? All sport, the Pittsburgh Steelers with Chuck Knoll, they won the 4 Super Bowls. They got all old at the same time. Chuck kept the team together because he wanted to be loyal. Team was lousy in the early 80s. That's the price you pay. So you want to be lethal? You want to be cold-hearted about it if you're the Warriors? Hey, Klay, go. You know what? We'll give you a ring ceremony one day. We'll put your banner up there, but get out. we're going to save the money and bring somebody else in who's a little younger. So it's a very tricky, and then the fans get mad at you for discarding it. Green says what he says. Curry gets upset. And then you got a fragmented situation. So it's a very, very tricky call for an organization to part ways with an older Hall of Famer who obviously helped you win. You know what Whitey Herzog, who just passed away, the Cardinal manager, used to say? You know what the hardest thing to do as a manager is manage a Hall of Famer on his way out. And I think you can say the same thing about an organization. He's an all-timer. He's a Hall of Famer. He's not what he used to be. And if you bring him back, there's only a ceiling of what you can do for a franchise right. that's won championships.
It is important to point this out, Doggy. Even though last night was god-awful for Klay Thompson, he did finish the regular season strong. They were 10-2. During that span, he averaged 21.8 points, 49% shooting from the field, 41% shooting from three-point range. And this season, despite his inconsistencies, he finished fourth in the NBA in three-point shooting at 39 and shot 39% from three-point range. What we're saying is this, that we're not accustomed to seeing Klay Thompson struggle like that. But his struggling is better than 90% of the league who are assigned to go out there and shoot the damn basketball. He's that lethal. We got to remember that. And so, again, it's not a matter of, oh, my goodness, he's done. Let's, you know, like Barkley is like, you know, he's not going to get better. Well, damn, you know what? He didn't look bad. And you can look better if your shot's falling. And he's a shooter. So there is that possibility. The issue in question, however, is the parts that you have around them. If you don't have the right parts around them, I'm like, at some point, you got to use somebody to grab additional assets, and it ain't going to be Steph Curry. So who's the bait that you use to ultimately throw something out there and reel something back in of even higher value? That's the question, and that's the dilemma that the Golden State Warriors are going to have to face.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Lakers defeated the Pelicans. They now face the Nuggets again, who swept LA last season in the Western Conference Finals. Anthony Davis has had Denver on his mind since the preseason.
It was just a lot of, like, the talking and all the Lakers, that, like, it was just so much of that going on. Like, all right, we get it, y'all won. But, you know, I think, you know, me and Bron had some conversations, like, we can't wait.
31
or
32, man.
I say you heard that. He's ready for this. How ready do you think he really is, though, AD for the Nuggets?
Well, I think he's ready. I'm sorry, go ahead, Tim. My bad.
No. I didn't know who she was asking. Go ahead. It's all you.
No. I think that I think he's ready. Anthony Davis has played like a star this year. There's no doubt about it. There's no getting around it. I never expected in my wildest dreams for the brother to play 76 games, which he did this year. Major props to him. Him and LeBron James together played more minutes this year together than they did the last two seasons combined. That is a huge, huge plus for the Los Angeles Lakers. And obviously, winning this game last night, it gives them 4 days rest. And then take this into consideration, y'all. Do you understand that game three, if I remember correctly, is either game three or game four, that's going to be at Crypto.com Arena a week from Saturday? So you're talking about the span of, 9, 10 days? you know, something like that, where you're only going to play about three games. And I think if you look at it from that perspective, they'll have their rest and what have you. And we have to remember, Dougie, that Anthony Davis would drop 40 on Jokic. The problem is that that's one game, and then he turned around the next game and only give you 11. The inconsistency is what plagued him, not incapability. That's the difference. We know what Anthony Davis is capable of because the brother can ball. He's big time. He can play. The question is, is he going to give it to you on a day-in, day-out, night-in, night-out basis? And when you open training camp by reminding everybody or revealing to everybody, they were talking smack to you, they were belittling you, you were aching to get at them, you came here ready because you trying to make amends for what happened to y'all last year against them, you don't then go out and resemble what you were last year. You got to show up. I think Anthony Davis is fully capable of doing it, and I'm going to be very interested in watching him because nobody's going to stop Jokic, and Jokic throws up some shots that are just unguardable. It's like miracles. How the hell did he make that? And you see Anthony Davis himself rolling his eyes like, I can't believe this guy. But he shouldn't be able to stop Anthony Davis. You, if you want him that badly, should be in a position where you can match him tit for tat when you have the basketball. That's what I'm going to be looking to see from Anthony Davis.
Well, first off, Jokic didn't chirp because that's not his personality, so I don't pay any attention to that. Well, last year they chirped after they beat us. Their best player, you know, he's out there, you know, on a surfboard in back in here, you know, with his kids, he could care less. That's not his person, so I don't pay any attention to that. That's the first thing. Second thing, that is a joke about the first round of the NBA playoffs. I mean, they do play three games in 9 days. It takes them 15, 16 days to get through a seven-game scenario. I know they got television responsibilities, but, you know, the average fan, that drives you crazy. The Lakers and Nuggets will play Saturday, Tuesday, and Saturday. I mean, that, to me, you lose the rhythm of getting into it on an every other day basis. And the third thing, so that's number two. And the third thing is, you know, the Lakers can talk about rest all they want. They got to play in that altitude. And I think Timmy's the athlete. He did it. I think there's a factor. And the Lakers are older. LeBron's older. He's 40 years old. I mean, Anthony Davis is 32, 33 years of age. Denver does it all the time. I think that's a factor in this setting as well, the altitude in Denver. Lakers can say anything they want. I think they're a little better than they were last year. I don't think they're a lot better. I think that's compensated by Denver's experience that they won a championship. So that's going to give them a little leg up. I said it at the first hour. Timmy didn't hear it. I'll say it for Timmy now. I'll be very surprised if this goes more than five games. That's how much I have confidence in the Nuggets.
You know, you can have a five or even a six-game series, right? A five-game series that is competitive based on meaningful possessions in the fourth quarter. I do think we're going to get those in this series. Here's the bottom line, though, and they put some numbers up this morning in the graphic on something else I did, and I couldn't believe what I was looking at. The last eight games against the Lakers, Jokic's numbers, 27, 13, and 11. That's what he averages against the Lakers. 64% effective field goal percentage against Anthony Davis. Because that's the one thing people would always say, well, Anthony Davis, that's the kind of guy that gives Jokic trouble, long and athletic. No, he doesn't. He doesn't affect Jokic. Nothing affects Jokic. He has an answer for everything. So, Stephen A., I think you're onto something here. The solution for Anthony Davis, by the way, I have a lot of respect for what he did this year. You're absolutely right. He's beyond critique. He showed up every night. He didn't miss games with minor injuries. He played great. He's a force on both ends of the floor. Even last night when he didn't play great offensively, made one of the biggest hustle plays in the game by securing that offensive rebound on LeBron's air ball and finishing that play. Anthony Davis did that last night. A lot of respect for him. You don't beat Jokic in this series by thinking you're going to limit him or slow him down in some way. Here's how you get him. You get him by going at him. And Anthony Davis absolutely can do that. Anthony Davis can average 25, 26 points a game in this series. There is no question in my mind that he can do that against Jokic and be a defensive force with his rim protection. Now, here's where it gets a little bit dicey. The offensive rebounding is a major factor for Anthony Davis, really hard against Denver. Jokic gets all those defensive rebounds. And if you're AD and you're going in there repeatedly and you're not getting those balls, and Jokic has him, guess what now? Anthony Davis is the last guy off the court defensively. You got a problem on the other end of the floor because Denver's really good in the open floor. So that is one big element that I think Anthony Davis is not going to give you in this series. That's a big part of his game. There's no reason he can't go at Jokic and have success offensively, but don't think for a second. There is a game plan, personnel or scheme, that's going to throw Jokic off. He's seen it all. He overcomes it all. He's that good.
Stevie, well, I think the Lakers got to get game one. They've played. Nuggets haven't played in a week. Nuggets have beaten them a million times in a row. They swept them last year. If the Nuggets win game one, what's going to change in games two, three, or four? Lakers got to give the Nuggets something to think about. So to me, as a sports fan, if I'm looking at it from a Laker perspective, you must get game one. I think that's very important.
Well, to me, I don't feel that way. I don't feel they must get game one. I feel they must get one of the first two in Denver. I do believe that, but I don't think it necessarily has to be game one. That's number one. Number two, I want to say this as well. When we look at Denver, Denver's operating under a different umbrella this year. Last year, you were shooting and you were vying for your championship, and you were absolutely, utterly disgusted and felt disrespected because all anybody talked about were the Lakers, and the surge that they were on en route to going to the Western Conference Finals, okay? Well, now you're the hunted. You're the reigning defending NBA champions. And the Lakers are the one playing with house money because virtually no one expects them to win this series. And so because of that, it's going to be really interesting to see how the other dudes, because you know Jokic is Jokic, but it's going to really be interesting to see how the other dudes respond to that kind of, I don't want to say pressure because they can deal with that, but just be having expectations placed on your shoulders where people are actually looking at the Lakers and you don't have an excuse of being annoyed and agitated, and ultimately that gets you up in a tizzy and gets you galvanized and ready to roar because you feel disrespected. No, the Lakers are the ones being disrespected coming into this series. They're the ones nobody expects to win. They're the ones we're wondering as to whether or not they're going to get swept. They're the ones we're sitting here talking about they better get one of the first two at home, otherwise we're going to pull out the broomsticks and all of this other stuff. Denver is playing under a different lens, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they respond to it.
Totally agree. I think three-point shooting is key for the Lakers. Russell and Reeves, they've got to make threes.
They got no shot without making the three-point shot.
Critical.
Zero.
Stephen A., even going into last night, their last two games, those two players against New Orleans, they made 17 threes in two games between the two of them against the Pelicans, and they did it again last night. D'Angelo Russell, the biggest shot of the game, a corner three. Austin Reeves played really well. So we can talk about LeBron and AD a lot, and we will. They absolutely have to hold their own against Jokic and Murray. How are D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura, how are those guys going to give them? Because this isn't a high-volume three-point shooting team. They're a little bit more selective. But those guys in this series against a really good defensive team are going to have big moments for this to be extended beyond five games.
Yeah. Lakers outscored by 15.5 points per 100 possessions this season against the Nuggets.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, you know what it is. It's that time of the week when Christopher Mad Dog Russo unleashes on America. We let him vent. It's cathartic for him.
I got a little time today. They gave me a little time.
What do you mean they gave you time? You always have time.
By the way, hockey tonight, We need the Coyotes home against Edmonton. I need two more points for a season over bet.
Let's do that.
So hit your knees tonight and go Phoenix. You may continue.
I didn't know you're a big Coyotes fan.
It's I am tonight.
I know what that is. All right, Mad Dog, let's get after it.
All right, we got
number
three
one.
Things. Number one is an easy one. What is Bickerstaff doing? Was it J.B. Bickerstaff?
Yes.
What is he doing Sunday against Charlotte? I mean, you're playing with the basketball gods. You basically take your starters out with a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. Well, we've had enough. We're settled for the fourth seed, which, by the way, means they get the Celtics in the conference semis. Instead of they were the third seed, they would get them in the conference final, which is a huge deal. Look at Thibodeau did. Thibodeau played in overtime against the Bulls to get the win. That is how you do it. Play your boot off the court this game, for crying out loud. I mean, you're out there. How about the season ticket holders who spent a fortune to go to the games, and you basically came in the fourth quarter. It's like, you know what? We've had enough. It's game 82. It doesn't mean anything. When in fact it did. Oh, my God. His father was a great coach who, by the way, was an assistant for who? Dick Motta, who should be in the Hall of Fame. Do you think Dick Motta would stay in that? I could not believe it. They're playing for a 3-seed, which means they don't play Boston into the conference final, and he mails it in the fourth quarter. That is a layup. He did it for me for this segment. Mind-boggling stupid. That drove me crazy. That's number one.
Stephen A?
Say something!
Yeah.
Oh, Stephen A's first. Stephen A's first.
Here's the deal. You know, Doggy, you're right. In theory, I do understand that. But it could be the residue from the beatdown that they suffered at the hands of the New York Knicks last year. And they didn't want to face the New York Knicks in the second round.
Conspiracy theories.
You're nuts. Timmy, am I right?
No, I got to agree with you on this. You do anything you have to do to avoid the Boston Celtics as long as you can. That's what the entire Eastern Conference playoffs are about.
Unbelievable. All right, so that's number one.
Okay.
Number two.
Let's go.
On Sunday night, I get home. I'm relaxing. I know Billy Joel's on CBS. It's that 100th concert that they did back on March 28th that CBS is televising it, and they edited it. Did you know? When he's about to say, they put bread in my jar, and I'm the you know that piano man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know CBS on an edited show right here? Do you know they cut the piano man done after half the song to go to the local news? Do you know that? I'm sitting here with my pajamas on, my little slippers, a little glass of milk, and a chocolate chip cookie, and I'm sitting here with Billy Joel. I love Billy Joel, and it's in New York. This is not me. He's in New York City, my town. And they got the Piano Man, one of the all-time classics from that wonderful album in the 70s, which one, The Stranger? And all there he is. And they cut it out because the masters ran late. You had all night to edit the stupid tape. CBS says, well, we'll show you the whole show on April 19th. I ain't watching on April 19th. I'm watching now. And I went to bed with a frown on my face because I wanted to hear the Piano Man. Number two.
Is that the equivalent of, like, when your wife started talking at the end of the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Was it like that?
When I had bets on the line.
Yeah. And she wanted to have a little conversation and get some schooling.
Thoughts, Stephen?
Go ahead, Tim. I want you to go first on this, and I'll follow.
Two
go ahead,
things.
Tim.
First, he got himself so worked up, his tie flipped around.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Secondly, haven't you heard the song enough?
Funny.
Haven't you heard it enough? You could have finished it yourself. You could have sung it yourself.
I would have been mad.
That's all I got.
All right. Stevie?
What I have is this. Number one, who cares? Only Doggy. Number two, the only reason you care, clearly you didn't bet on the Masters enough, or you already knew the results of your bet, because if your bet had mattered, you wouldn't be acting like this. That's number two. And number three, piggybacking off, because I needed a second to look this up. Dick Motta coached 25 years in the NBA, okay? And Doggy, his record was 9-35-10-17. That is a 47.9% winning percentage. He won one championship in 25 years. He went to the conference finals only twice in 25 years. That is not a Hall of Famer. Sorry. Let's move on.
You know
Real
what?
Quick.
Good job.
I agree with you. I would have been livid if they cut it off. My favorite song, my favorite artist. I would have been with you.
I'm going to switch here. And I'm going to go off mad to happy. Is that okay?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. America, real
good. That's a good.
Yeah, I like
good.
It.
We'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Juxtaposition.
Here you go. So I go to the Masters, and I don't go to the Masters down Washington Avenue. I'm Chris Rusev. I go to the Masters the way you're supposed to go to the Masters.
You're so obnoxious.
So I ended up, they have a big hospitality tent. So Mr. and Mrs. Russo, first time ever, in the hospitality tent at 8:15 in the morning. All right, fair enough. Beautiful pictures of Bobby Jones, that wonderful golf course. They got a merchandise store, three restaurants. It's all free. They got three putting greens in the back of it. So you can practice the same speed as the greens on the course. So this is 8:15 last Friday morning. So I'm walking out. It's called Berkman Plaza. Expensive, Stevie. I walk out of Berkman Plaza, and I'm walking to the 16th hole, the amphitheater. I got to go down the hill. Walking with my lovely wife, Jeannie. Bendoff! Get over here! What? I just walked in. Who's going? And this is the mess. You know, it's quiet. Civility. No, Bendoff, come over here. I got to have you meet some friends. So I look to my right. My eyes pop out. I walk over, Mrs. Russo follows me. I stay there for 15 minutes talking to this particular, wearing a green jacket, all members have to, this individual. He says, by the way, we're talking about former appearances on my radio show back at WFAN, my golf game, the Heisman Trophy, all sorts of things. He says, by the way, that segment you do on that show that I catch with the clips, I don't know who the host is. I've never heard of him. But you are tremendous on it. You are great. I'm meeting all his friends, shaking their hands. 15 minutes! You know what it was? Peyton Manning! That's right. And you see that guy right there? He never heard of him. He don't watch Rick. Who? What? General Hofstra? Nobody cares. Or him screaming about the NBA? Nobody cares. Or anything on TV with the podcast? Nobody cares. Peyton Manning over to say hello. I had just walked in, green jacket and all, and it's Peyton, and Omaha Productions, baby. I walk in and hug Peyton Manning. I ain't never heard of you.
That's pretty good.
May I
respond?
You may.
Oh, yeah.
That is such a cute story. And I know it makes you feel so good.
It does.
But I just wanted to give you a nugget of information. There was a show last year called The NBA in Stephen A's World. Do you know who co-produced it with me?
I don't.
It would be Peyton Manning and Omaha Productions.
Maybe.
And by the way, during the NBA Finals in Denver, do you know who was on the show with me?
I don't.
It'd be Peyton Manning. It'd be Peyton Manning. So this notion that he did not know, he just wanted to make you feel good, but he lied to you because he knows.
He knew Molly too. Yes. But he didn't know you, Steve. Who
Trust
is the
me.
Guy that you're with?
He Trust me, he knows.
He didn't know you.
Trust me, he knows.
That's good, though. Peyton Manning's a legend.
Oh,
that's
I'm so
cool
happy. Habit. Oh, my God. I could have left right then. That's pretty good, right?
Does Stephen A's response at all diminish your joy right now? At all?
Because he tried to lie. You can't lie your way to joy.
He
you
was
gotta tell
teasing.
The truth.
Of course Peyton didn't say he doesn't know. We all know he knows you. He's just teasing.
Oh, I
That's
know
a
this.
Very cool.
I, know oh, I love it. Oh, and my lovely wife, Holmes. I mean, gee.
She was
my
excited
God,
about Peyton.
He wanted, so
to make,
happy.
He wanted to make you feel good because he's tired of seeing you mad. So he wanted to see you glad.
I thought I threw one in there for you.
See,
but everyone
loves this segment.
Yeah.
See
yeah.
what happens when you hang with the high rollers?
Yeah, that's it.
Good job. You feel good?
I feel better.
Feel good? Okay.
Yep.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Oh, you know we're excited when we see our boy Swagoo, Marcus Spears. We miss you, but you're allowed to have a couple days off.
I miss y'all.
QT with the fam. Great to have you. All right, I'm going to save some time so we can dive into your squad here. So obviously we're 8 days until the NFL draft. So we've got our draftlets here for you. Alabama's Dallas Turner is the top defensive player available. That according to Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. Mel has the outside linebackers going to the Falcons with the 8th pick. Meanwhile, three cornerbacks and Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy, the second, rounds out Mel's top 5 players on defense in the upcoming draft. Marcus, which defensive player do you have your eye on as the draft approaches?
Molly, I love all those guys, but Leiatu Latu is the guy that I'm watching from UCLA. He's an outside edge rusher. He's what we call defensively a hybrid because he plays the edge of the defense. They drop him in coverage. He's one of those multiple guys that you can use in a lot of ways in the NFL. Reminds you a little bit with his movement, not his production, because I know people hate comparisons of TJ Watt for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Physical, really doesn't own one position, but is a phenomenal pass rusher, which is a premium in the NFL, but you also can drop him in coverage and move him around defensively, which gives you flexibility to play really well. I got my eye on him and where he goes and the system he goes to. I think he can be one of those quiet guys we look up next year with a huge impact for whatever team takes him in the draft.
All right, love that nugget. We'll have our eye on him as well. Our First Take draft list continues tomorrow. That's with Michael Penix Jr. Giants should think about taking him. Don't miss what you need to know about the outstanding Washington quarterback. All right, Jerry Jones said that he was all in on the 2024 season, but some of his most notable stars are nearing the end of their current deals, including 2023 All-Pros Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, as well as 2023 Pro Bowler DeMarcus Lawrence. Stephen Jones, what does it mean to be all in this season?
Everybody can have their own definition of what that means, but I've never not known us to be all in, nor have I known anybody we compete against not to be all in. We spend max money, year in and year out. We also, are looking towards signing our own guys. It doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Micah and CD, then, that certainly you have to hold money back if you want to have a realistic chance at signing those guys.
All right, Swaggo, you played for the Cowboys. You reside in Texas. You're up first, my friend. Are you okay with... Yep. Whatever you want. You take it. You go.
No, I'm not okay. I'm not okay because everybody else does it. First of all, Stephen Jones is my guy. When I see Stephen, we talk. He knows how frustrated I am when it comes to the moves that they make and how they stand pat. We've known for 2.5 years now that you're going to have to re-sign Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. But only having them two and Dak is not going to win you a damn Super Bowl. And that is what we're talking about in context. And the problem is, because it makes sense to have to sign both of those guys. They're going to command a lot of money when they up for their contracts. Everybody knows that. But the bottom line is, everybody that's winning Super Bowl figure out a way to do it. Kansas City figures out a way to pay their guy. Chris Jones just got $107 million. Pat Mahomes got $500 million. Travis Kelce signed a contract. They signed offensive linemen to high dollar contracts. We see the Philadelphia Eagles do it every damn offseason. So as much as we focus on the Cowboys and we get mad about them standing pat, you should be pissed off more as a Dallas Cowboy fan. The fact that other people can figure out and manage ways to do this and get to championships or NFC championships with signing their own players and also bringing in free agents. I've been singing this song for 3 years now. Has the roster been good? Yes, it's been solid. This may be the worst one since we've been talking about Dallas having a chance to win a damn Super Bowl. Everybody else can do it. And it seems when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, it's always something we're trying to get people in that's going to take you over the hump.
Well,
yes, I'm emotional, but
Steve,
I'm also happy to see you guys.
Yeah, I love you, Marcus. Remember, Snead had to leave Kansas City, that great corner, because they couldn't pay him. So keep that in mind. Here's the problem with Dallas. Dak Prescott makes $55 million a year. Okay? He's a $55 million a year. He's $55 million. He's not that good. So you're paying a quarterback $55 million, and I would argue he's not even a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Most of these other teams have quarterbacks who are, you know, Mahomes, as Marcus just said, obviously Hurts 2 years ago. I mean, these teams are big time. And they got these are big quarterbacks. He's not a big quarterback. This guy does not play well in the playoffs. He was awful against Green Bay. He doesn't win any road playoff games. He can do anything he wants in a regular season. But you are paying a quarterback who is not a top 10 quarterback incredible amount of money. That kills your salary cap. That absolutely destroys it. And by the way, does anybody think that Jerry Jones doesn't want to win? There must be something going on with the salary cap because Jerry Jones is 82 years of age and Jerry Jones wants to win more than anybody. So when he tells you, guys, I'm capped out, I got to worry about Spears, I got to worry about Lamb, I got to worry about Parsons, what do you want us to do? Who do you want me to bring in? I got a left tackle who left to go to the Jets. Who do you want me to do? The problem is the quarterback's making too much money, Marcus. He's not any good. He's making $55 million a year. It's hard to win with a quarterback who's not a top 10 guy making that kind of money. Look at Steve.
I'm going to let Stephen A. go, and I'm going to address you, mad dog.
Look at Stephen A. just spinning in his chair, chilling.
Because we during the season and in the offseason, we just put him in a great position to have success with whatever he says about the Cowboys. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. Go ahead, man.
You know something, y'all? First of all, Marcus is good to see you. Could you put? I need this whole segment. I need to see Marcus and Craig. Look at my brother. I haven't seen him in a while. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's good to see you, bro. It's good to see you. You know, doggy. Why I'm laughing is because nothing y'all said is wrong, but you're still missing the point. You see. What the issue is, it's not what they doing. That's bad enough, which is close to nothing. It's that they'll sit up there and tell you, well, we're going to do what we've been doing. See, that's the part that y'all, to encapsulate everything you're talking about, Dougie. You overpaying Dak? You've been overpaying Dak. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we got to sign these dudes. You been had to sign some dudes. You lost some other dudes in free agency. You been lost some dudes in free agency, okay? We watched Saquon Barkley go to Philadelphia. We watched our defensive coordinator go take the head coaching job in the nation's capital, right? You been watching people depart. I mean, it's the same old, same old. And these brothers, yeah, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, my buddies, okay? These dudes will go in front of the cameras and the microphone and go like this. We've been doing it. We always all in.
We've been doing it.
So what you're saying is, Cowboy fans everywhere, expect more of the same.
Oh, my God.
Swag go. I hate that our visit is so short, but we're up against it. Got to get in the final commercial break here. You're the best. Much love to the family.
I'm ready to get the hell out of here.
We'll talk to you very soon.
I'm ready to get the hell out of here, Molly.
More of
First Take. I'm ready to get the hell out of here.
After this quick break, enjoy your day, Marcus. All right, we got 30 seconds. Mad Dog, two playing games tonight on ESPN. Who do you have?
I'm going to take Miami, and I'm going to take the home teams in Chicago. I'll take the Heat.
Okay, Miami and Chicago?
Yes.
I agree with him. I'm going to take the Miami Heat, and I'm going to take the Chicago Bulls.
Mm. Embiid's playing, I'm assuming?
I'm going Philly.
You're going Philly?
Philly.
It doesn't matter. Either of them are going to fall to the Knicks.
I don't know. That's not what Tim Legler said.
Right.
I didn't hear you.